Surely is a privilege to welcome Dr. Peter Malachar to our pulpit this morning. And he is the lead pastor of Capital Bible Church in New Delhi, India. He's been married to his wife, Heather, I think since 2005. I think I got that right. They have two not-so-little ones anymore, and one on the way. I forgot to mention that in the first service, although Peter mentioned it. So they have really three children, by the Lord's grace, one not yet visible to us, but certainly one that is coming. So we're excited about that. We're excited to have them with us. Peter and Heather also work. Really, Peter's the founder of Passion Ministries International, that work with those in the slums in Delhi. They work on the campuses, the college campuses in Delhi. They work with a nonprofit organization. Really more things than I could tell you. We'd be here all day if I was telling you about all the ministries. So that's why you need to come back tonight. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. I've had the privilege, by the Lord's grace, of being with Peter and Heather and their family in India three times. We'll see if this year's will happen. We don't know. We'll see what the Lord will do. But so it is a blessing to be able to encourage you that although all that I will present to you about what Peter has done is exciting, I've had a chance to see it. And it is a precious privilege to go and see their family working together in ministry, to see as he pours out his life into the life of the church, as they are giving themselves to do that, as well as into the lives of the people in Delhi, and then throughout India. And then really, they're here now, right? So they're ministering to us. So to get a chance to see that personally and to be a blessing. When we go to India, you need to understand, Peter's gracious to let me say things that he would say anyway. The things he would preach, the things I would do, he can do them better than I can. But he lets me do it, I think, because he just gives a new perspective for that. So I'm gracious. So he's gracious. So we don't go because we're doing such great ministry there. We go really to observe, participate, and be blessed by the work of the ministry so that we can tell you about that. That's the goal. And so I want to affirm Peter's love for the Lord, his love for the church, his love for the word, his love for people, his love for Christ. That's why he's here. And as he comes, my prayer is that you would listen carefully, not because of who he is individually or personally, but you would listen because of what he will tell you, the truth of the word that he loves and that he's lived out in his life. You see, that's the proof of it, right? When you preach and live, when you study and obey and then teach. That's what Peter's done. He's done that for many, many years. And so you will be encouraged and strengthened as you hear the truth of the word. So please welcome Peter as he comes to the pulpit.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Jai Masiki. Well, that's in Hindi. Praise the Lord. I want to bring greetings to you from Capital Bible Church, from that small city of Delhi with 26 million people. But what a privilege it is for me and my wife, Heather, and Prakash and Joy, and our little one coming in September to gather with you, the Bride of Christ. And what a privilege it is. Actually, after 2.5 months, we were able to come to church and get to preach twice. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Chris. It's a great joy. It's a great joy. And I want to begin this morning by saying this statement: God's glorious gospel mission. And I believe this is the greatest mission because it is God's mission and it reflects God's glory through his gospel. This gospel mission is so great because it has a global impact as well as eternal impact. Global impact as well as eternal impact. You know, as we live our lives with a here or there, we can get very busy with many good and important things in life and miss out on this greatest mission that God actually calls us and gives us this privilege to participate in his gospel mission. And we know that this gospel mission is accomplished with much suffering and sacrifice. And we'll share a little bit of those stories today. But yet we know, and I'm sure you would agree with me, as we know the Word of God tells us this is a sovereignly successful mission, that this will happen for sure as God's word in accomplishing this God's mission. If you zoom into the future and look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you.'" That's the worthy Lamb of God, right? "The worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's good news. That's the gospel. I would like to call it God's news of God's Son, of who He is and what He has done for us. That He will, as He has shed His blood, ransom people for God from all nations. This gospel is briefly and brilliantly shared by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3 to 4. It says, "For I delivered to you of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Apostle Paul says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why, Paul? Why are you not ashamed of the gospel? "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So this has been the heart of God for the whole world. This is what we see, that every tribe, language, people, and nation will come and worship this worthy Lamb of God. You know, God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You notice that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Psalm 22, verse 27 says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." And that's the goal of the missions, right? Mission's goal is just not missions. The goal of the missions is worship of the one and only true Creator God, who alone deserves to be worshipped. In Delhi, India, is where we live. We see huge idols of monkey gods. They worship cows and sun and snakes. You know, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. In Romans 1:23, North India or India is a hub of Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Jainism, and all the other zums. And the transcendental meditation and yoga that's taking the Western world. And I know we don't see a lot of idols up here, but don't we have idols of our heart? It's the same. How it looks is different from here and there. But this is our prayer and our sure hope that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord and worship Him. Amen? So that's the whole story. As you scan through the history and the future, you just can't miss God's mission in this world. And the amazing thing is that God calls us very specifically to participate in His mission in what we know as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So this will be today's title and text, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And today we'll have a very simple look at the Great Commission. And a very simple look at the great discipler, and conclude with a challenge for each one of us to be a disciple that makes disciple. To grow as a mature disciple will multiply. Mature disciple will multiply. As I said, I will just have a simple look, and later on you are gifted by an amazing expositor preacher, Pastor Chris, and he will dig deeper and clear my mess if I did make any. You really are gifted. We enjoy Pastor Chris every time you send him there. We just love how he exposes the preacher, the Word of God, just a powerful, powerful preacher of God's Word. So we thank you so much every time you send him there. I know this is a very familiar scripture. All of you know these verses, but this is my prayer that God will reignite and renew a passion for God's mission in all of our hearts this morning, that we will all participate in God's glorious gospel mission. Let me read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. If you have a copy of God's Word, you can follow along as I read from ESV. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Can we just look to God in prayer real quick? Father God, your word is open to us. Pray that the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of your word will touch every heart, will transform us and conform us more to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. May your word convict us. May your word challenge us and conform us to your likeness. Speak to us, O Lord. Lord, so undeserved as I am, and yet your grace and grace alone, you saved me and us. But how you love the church, and you bought each one with your precious blood. So we thank you. We worship you, Lord. And speak to us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. So we'll have very simple questions that perhaps we'll find answers from this text. The number one is, so what is the Great Commission? Very simple question. What is the Great Commission? And I think we just can't miss it. It's very clear in the text. It says, go there for, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's the key verb, right? Make disciples. Here, Jesus is telling the disciples to make disciples. So disciples, make disciples. Who makes disciples? Who makes disciples? And so making disciple is the commission, the Great Commission here. Now, many times it's very easy for us to be very busy in different ministries and yet miss out in making disciples. It's very possible, very much possible. And we understand working, all the churches are focused, yet we do a lot of non-profit thing and for-profit thing, and it's very easy to get swayed away from the very simple, very important task that God has called us to do, to make disciples and to grow them into maturity so that they will multiply. You know, Great Commission is great for many different reasons, but one simple reason is that as a disciple makes another disciple and that passes on from one generation to another, and guess what? Here we are, because those disciples of Jesus Christ faithfully made disciples and it passed on and on and on. It's just great. You know, many times we look for strategies in outside world and business world, whatnot, but the Word of God is so full of amazing God divine strategies. Disciples, make disciples. And here we are. I want to share a few God stories, I would say, for God's glory. Because this really is God's work. Story of this young man, who is no longer a young man here. He was a young man, a Hindu, who hated Christianity, hated missionaries and other culture coming and telling what to do. And, you know, he hated Christianity. And yet he got stuck with tuberculosis in those days in the 1950s. No other option to go but to a mission hospital where the American missionaries have gone and cut down jungles and literally made hospitals. And this hospital would treat tuberculosis. And in those days, as you know, it's a year-long treatment. And this young man, his name is Pramod, he went and said, if you try to convert me, I'd rather die. You know, but I would like to be healed if you treat. He says, yes, this is a hospital. Please come. And so every morning, this young missionary lady who was from U.S. would say, Pramod, this is the Bible. This is the truth. Read it. And he would laugh and say, come on, Hinduism is like an ocean. Christianity is like a drop in a bucket, you know, a drop of ocean in a bucket. And so because Hinduism has so many gods, 133 million gods, like you name it, we have God for that. And he was so proud and he would not even touch the Bible. But this young lady would just go every morning and say, Pramod, this is the truth, read it. And finally, you know, Pramod picked up the Bible, read it three times to find fault in the Bible. And guess what? Like a mirror, God's word found fault in him. That he's not a God, he is a wicked sinner. That it's not by karma, good works, but it's by the finished work and by grace of Jesus Christ alone. What will it profit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? And so not only this young man got saved, he pastored for more than 57 years. And guess who he is? He is my dad. And that's my mom. That's a story of one faithful disciple going from your country, USA, church sent, sharing the gospel, discipling my dad. My dad went on planting so many different churches. And here am I, coming to your country and sharing God's word. Isn't it amazing? One disciple faithfully making disciple can make a global impact, a generational impact. Make disciple as simple as the Lord has made it clear to us. This commission also is a great commission because of who gave this great commission. This great commission is given by whom? If you see in the text, that this is the risen Lord, not the dead Lord. This is Jesus who died for our sins on Friday and rose again on Sunday. This living, risen Lord, who is sovereign Lord, as you can see, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This Jesus has all authority, heaven and earth. Even if you move to Mars, which people are planning, right, these days, you still will be under the authority of our Lord Jesus, because that commander gave this great commission. The sovereign Savior gives this great commission. This great commander gives this great commission because he cares for us, that he loves us, that he left heaven and came to the sinful earth and lived a perfect life and gave a perfect sacrifice so that we sinners can be saved from eternal wrath of God because of our sins. This great commander gives us this commission, very simple: make disciples of all nations. To whom? Question number two. To whom does Christ give this commission? Very simple, very, very clear in the text. Here we find in verse 16, 11 disciples, and we know that there are about 500 people could be there in the mount here in Galilee, very specifically saying, disciples, make disciples. So this commission was given to the disciples, and yet, if you look at verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That means that commission is still relevant for us because all nations are still not discipled. There are many people still haven't heard the gospel. And so, by reference, we understand that this commission is relevant for every disciple, including now, even to the very end of the age. This simply means this: if you are a disciple, make disciples. No exceptions, no excuses. Disciple, make disciples. You may be wherever you are, location-wise. You may do whatever you are, professional, house mom, to a doctor or an engineer, wherever you are, whoever you are. And you make your life goal, God's mission, align all that you do, and make disciples. Note, this great commission is actually a command. It's not an option or suggestion if you get some time. No, that's not an option. This is the Great Commission. It's a command. And we want to obey the command out of love for the commander. This is not to be obeyed just out of duty, but out of delight. We obey out of love for God because he first loved us. Isn't this the beautiful story of God's love for us? In John 3:16, all of us know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. His obedience is based out of love. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, talks about our motivation. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ controls us. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. So making disciples out of love for God, love for Christ. Isn't that the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. So we understand that this great commandment comes from this great one who gave this command is all based out of love. His love for the lost and his love for us, and our love for him in response would be the joyful obedience in making disciples for God's glory. And I want to encourage all of you that discipleship may be difficult, but discipleship is delightful as well. It's actually a great joy. I want to share another story of this young man. I still remember the day he came to my office with tears in his eyes saying, bro, I just lost my family. Because he comes from a Brahmin, high caste Hindu family. Called his mom and said, I follow Jesus. I want to be baptized and be following Jesus and no longer any other God. And her mom, and his mom would say, shame on you. And it's a shame on us, our family, our culture. You have stood against us. You can no longer call me and say, I'm your mom. And Ward said, you need to pay me back everything I spent on you from your birth. And that young man, I remember, said, hey, welcome to the family. You know, you have an earthly family, but you have a gospel eternal family, global family. And here's the pillow, and here's my wife giving dinner. And that young man not only came to the Lord, but baptized, actually the first one who got baptized in our church plant when we started, is now leading the nonprofit. I handed over to him. But then, very recently, guess whom he married? He really is my family now. He married to my sister. And that young man that I discipled, by God's grace, I have a joy to see him disciple another young man out there. Just for name's sake, I want to protect another young man there. And that young man is discipling many other young men in Teen Bible Club. And this young man got saved and shared the gospel to his brother right there next. And both of them would come to church, and the mom would say, where do you go on Sunday? And they said, Mom, come and see. And Mom comes, and she comes to know the Lord and get baptized. And finally, as the dads are, right? The dads are the last ones to drag into. Finally, last year, we had his dad, who was actually being affected a lot by addiction. It's amazing to see not only God saved and got baptized, but he has come out of this addiction by the power of the gospel, and now he is doing ministry among other fathers who are facing the same addiction. It's just amazing to see how the gospel multiplies. And here we are, we have the whole team being raised. By the way, most of them are first generation Christians that are being raised, trained to not only be a disciple, to make disciples, to plant churches even in unreached people groups. So discipleship is difficult, it's challenging, but it's delightful. And I want to encourage all of you to make disciples. Where are we to make disciples? It's very clear here in the text, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. In Greek, it's pantatha ethne, means people groups, people groups. And immediately when you think of nations, we think of cross-cultural overseas missions, right? We think, oh, it's over there. But really, missions is local. And then it's global as well. It starts local and goes global. Look at this verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you, Jesus here talking to the disciples, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem. That's the hub. That's the local. And in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, this missions is local and spreads globally. But note, it says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That this mission is led or enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to witness Christ, risen Christ, locally as well as globally. It's interesting nowadays that you see how missions, how people from all over are actually everywhere, right? Here in the U.S., you find Indians, right? I see a lot of Indian restaurants every time I've come to India, come to the States. You know, I love eating all kinds of things. By the way, whole California people will know it, In-N-Out Burgers. Okay. But at some point, I miss Indian, you know? But then you look around, every time we see Indian people, actually my children, I think my son, like, Dad, Another Indian. They're everywhere, right? People are everywhere now. The world has become so global. And so it's interesting how, you know, even global impact can be done locally as well. In fact, I would say all mission is making disciples actually local. Because even if you go across to a cross-cultural nation, wherever you go, you're going to make disciples locally there, right? So discipleship is designed to be done in a relational way. There is no concept of distance discipleship, because I know these days we're doing Zoom and Google Meet and all of this, but that's not how it should be, right? And you know it. You know, you want to see the person, feel it, understand, and walk, because discipleship is just not informational download. It is life on life transformation, right? Walking together in a relational setting. In fact, that's what we see our Lord Himself doing, that He came, He left heaven and came to this earth and lived among us, incarnational. And He did make disciples locally that had global impact. If you think about it, Jesus actually did not travel much in His lifetime here on earth. He really didn't. He did make disciples locally that had global impact. So wherever God places you, make disciples. We have senders locally and goers globally, and yet discipleship needs to be done wherever we are, whoever we are. We all need to be part of this great commission. The next question then is a very important one. It says, okay, how do we make disciples? How do we make disciples? And my quick and simple answer is, look at the great discipler. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ. In this context, as you have been studying through the Gospel of Matthew, you see that Jesus, the one who told us to make disciples, has showed us how to make disciples. The one who told us has showed us. And as you see His life in Matthew, here almost culminating here before ascension, He says, go and make disciples. That how He had already made, that we are to make. So look at the great discipler. Look at Jesus. And we want to learn from our Lord how to make disciples this morning. And a very simple three truths here is that how Jesus was very intentional wherever He went. As He went out and about, it says, go therefore. And this go is as you go in and out, as you go out and about. As you go, Jesus Christ was very intentional in how He would identify disciples whom He would like to invite and invest. We know Jesus preached to the crowds, yet He focused on a few and He intentionally invited them into His life. And we know even among His 12 apostles, the three were the inner core, right? And so see how Jesus was very intentional. He would identify, invite, and then He would invest on a few. We look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see how He was intentional to be a friend of sinners, right? He would go out and hang out and have dinner with sinners, right? That He would reach out to the proud religious leaders of His day. That He would reach out to the young, rich young man, but also to poor beggars. That Jesus would reach out to Roman soldiers, the Roman centurion, to government officers like tax collectors. That Jesus would reach out to the businessmen and women in those days, even the fishermen, right? And Jesus would attend the social events like wedding. He healed all kinds of sicknesses and demon-possessed. Jesus loves the little children. He reached out to men and women, crossing even social barriers of the day like the Samaritan woman. I want to share with you the joy of Capital Bible Church is that our church, 70% of them, of the members are first-generation Christians. It's amazing, beautiful to see that higher caste, lower caste, all kinds of backgrounds, we are one family in Christ. Isn't it amazing that only in the Church of Christ you can see those barriers being broken and crossed? I want to share you another God story of this young man. And he came to Delhi from a state in India called, a state in India who's known as the graveyard of missions. So he came to Delhi, his father brought him to be as a child laborer. And by God's grace, today he is a church leader. The reason how God got hold of his life, heard the gospel, came to a church, and then he's one of the first ones in his generation to go to university college, you know, graduated, worked in a multinational company, and then he was about to be promoted. And our church leaders invited him to be part of the church planters training. And he said, yes. It's amazing to see this brother from being a child laborer to now a church leader. And yet he is from a lower caste. I want to share with you and see him translating me in Hindi. But now look at the next picture. Is now he is preaching and someone else is translating. He's an amazing preacher as well. So this is brother is from a lower caste, but look at the next brother. He is from a highest caste, Brahmin, priestly caste. Not only he, but his brother also came to know the Lord, and he's also part of the training and being built up as a church leader. Next picture, you'll see how my dad gets hold of his dad, and he's a Hindu priest. You can actually see a mark here, and it's amazing to see that he is open to the gospel. He's not yet come to the Lord, but he is. The Lord is really drawing him closer. And so here it's a joy to see someone from a lower caste and then the highest caste to come together in this church family, how Christ crosses all barriers. Jesus intentionally goes, shares the gospel as Jesus teaches us to share the gospel. As people believe, they are to be baptized, right? It's go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The role of Trinity in salvation. Role of Trinity here. It's amazing. The testimony as you baptize in all the three, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The testimony of God's saving grace. And you know that baptism is maybe perhaps a little different in India, because that's when people know that you are standing against everything else, turning your world upside down. And when you get baptized, that's when you're declaring to the world that you follow Jesus. This is a beautiful picture of a man, two men, significant. Actually, he is a lawyer, another is a social worker. And it's a joy as a church. We went to Sagar, it's one of the unreached people groups, and to baptize right in the river with rain and people looking to perhaps in the future persecute them. It's amazing when you see the baptism as one huge, huge, I would say a dividing line, when you can see the commitment. You know, many times they wrongly understand that baptism is when you become Christian, which is not true, right? As you repent and believe, that's when you are born again. But baptism plays a significant role. And that's why I see Jesus said, go and baptize. There's an importance in declaring publicly what the Lord has done in your heart. Another story of this young lady who got baptized, but before she got baptized, one of the challenges, issues that came up was her dad saying, if you get baptized, I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to take my life. By God's grace, nothing of that happened. And then, as you can see, as you know, as you get baptized, you become a part of the church family. And the next picture will show how she is joyfully being part of this family, because her family would say, you will not be part of our family anymore. But God protected in all of those. And then, now, the story is amazing. The next one, you'll see her dad in that green just in front of Pastor Chris. You see him, right? There in India, there in our Nandalal church plant. He is now not only coming, and this church plant that we established has been 1 year now, that not only is coming, he is getting ready to be baptized as soon as it's open. Isn't it amazing that how this potential persecution to father saying, I will take my life, to now he being coming to the saving knowledge and getting ready to be baptized. And so it's amazing how Jesus teaches here not only to go share the gospel. By the way, here's my wife similarly being involved in discipleship with the young women. The first one with two ladies getting baptized, and here with single ladies, and the next picture is with women discipling. And it's been a great joy for us to see people coming across the culture and not only being saved, not only being baptized, but are being taught. That's how we are to make disciples. Not only go baptize, but in verse 20, so teaching them what? All that I have commanded you. So it's a whole council, you know, expository preaching, teaching, not just one or two things. So discipleship is not easy. You teach all things. But notice, it's a teach them to obey. So just not listening, but living it out. Not just the hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I believe this can happen only in the context of local church, where there is accountability, where there is a systematic teaching. And so discipleship being done in and through the local church. But I love here, it's teaching them. We are to teach. Discipleship, essential element is teaching, but that's just not it, right? To teaching them all things. In fact, when you think about discipleship, there's a lot of materials these days, right? I want to encourage you all. This is the text. This is the text for discipleship, is to teach the word of God. And so, as you see, Jesus very clearly here teaching us not only to go share the gospel, to baptize, to teach them. And as you know, as people get baptized, that they are part of the local church. Just a minute I want to take that how we may do discipleship not part of a local church. And I have seen that a lot, and even in India. But no, Christ loves the church. Christ said, I will build my church. The discipleship is designed to be in and through the local church. That's how it's God's design. The New Testament church is very clear that we are in a community and being discipled. And then on Sunday like this, we're gathered church, and then we scatter throughout the city, throughout the week, to be a witness for him. But discipleship is not easy. It's not easy. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ himself gives the definition of who is a disciple. He said, if you want to follow me, Jesus said here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Just think about it. Deny ourselves, like deny our dreams, our plans, our whatnot. Deny ourselves and take up the cross, his cross, only on Sundays? No, daily. Daily discipleship, right? And follow me. So as you can look at it, the discipleship is not easy. There's a cost. There's a cost. Discipleship is not easy. And that's why, as you know, that no wonder why many people don't make disciples, because it is difficult. It's difficult. Or we're busy. Or we're not even a disciple, because you have to be a disciple to make disciples, right? Or a disciple that is not maturing to multiply. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you at the same time to consider that discipleship is not easy, yet we can look to Jesus, the great disciple, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. That we cannot make disciples by our own strength and strategy. This is not a business principle to multiply and make some quantitative reports, right? That discipleship is to be done only by looking at Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, that his power is made available for us as we make disciples. Here in verse 18 says, all authority is given in heaven and earth to me, that Jesus' power enables us to make disciples. But then not only his power, he says his promise. What is his promise here in this text? In verse 20 says, I am with you. It's not I will be with you. I am with you always. That his presence is promised. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus never tells us to do something that we can't do? He always enables us. He is the example for us, but he also enables us to make disciples. So I want to encourage you, because sometimes when you think about discipleship, it seems very difficult, I can't do this, and all of those excuses can come. But yet we know the Lord will help us in what he has told us to do, because he has showed us and has given his word and his Holy Spirit to empower us. All authority, all nations, all things, always. There's a lot to observe in this text, but as I said, I'm just giving a big picture, a simple look at the Great Commission and the great discipler, because we cannot do it without the strength of Christ. And that's why all glory goes to Christ. Soli Deo Gloria. All glory to God alone. Alone. Let me conclude with a very simple personal definition, and I know it's not a deep theological kind of, but just something that I have observed as I learned about discipleship, that discipleship is actually an amazing journey. It is an amazing journey with Jesus that you take along with others whom you disciple to discover the glories of Christ. So it's an amazing journey, because as you study God's word, as you begin to look at and learn of Jesus, you begin to see the glories of Christ. And then not only you begin to see and worship the glory of Christ, but we see you proclaim the excellencies of our God. Isn't our God excellent in any regard? In fact, tonight I'll be sharing more that we also have business as mission now. It's amazing to see. I've never been on that side of things, because I've always been on the non-profit side. And now to be in the business world and see, like, wow, our God is a God of business as well. You know, as a medical doctor, I knew that our God was a great physician, you know. And as I begin to experience in so many different areas that our God is excellent. He is the supreme one. There is nothing, no one higher than him. And so to proclaim the excellences of God in all of our life and beyond, right? Because this journey continues forever, to behold the glory of Christ and to proclaim his excellencies. So just want to encourage all of you that discipleship is something that you can begin as a journey with Jesus, with someone you disciple. And if you are here today, here and online, And if you are still not a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to look to our Savior, that He loves you. He's the only one who died for your sins and rose again, that you can begin the journey today. My dad, whenever he preaches, he says, Jesus saves, and he says, Jesus saves today. Why not begin this amazing journey right away with the one who is your Creator, the one who is your Savior? And so if you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you don't follow Jesus and never repented of your sins and never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that today, as a brother from India coming across the globe, repent of your sins and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He loves you more than anyone and anything you can imagine. And you would begin that amazing journey with Jesus. If you are a disciple of Jesus, I want to encourage you, challenge you to consider starting discipling even with one person. And of course, you are in a church that has amazing leadership. You want to consult with your elders and begin that discipleship relationship. You don't have to be perfect in God's word, right? We are, disciple means a learner, a student learner. We still learn, but whatever we learn, we share. And whatever we don't know, we learn. That's a process that keeps going on. And I want to encourage you, if you are a disciple, to consider very seriously, to be intentional, to invite, identify, and to invest in someone's life, even starting today, if the Lord leads you. Make a disciple. As you mature in the Lord, you would multiply. A mature disciples multiply. Mature disciples multiply. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are. Make disciples. That's what the Lord's command is, and do that with love. If you are a disciple of Christ and the Lord has touched you, just to think about the world, and maybe the Lord will prompt in your heart to consider going across the world, even coming to Delhi, coming to India. Joshua Project says there is more than 2,000 people groups that have never heard the gospel, that are unreached people groups, right in India. And if you are one of those, talk to your leaders. Talk to your leaders, talk to your pastor, as you consider even cross-cultural ministry. In fact, harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I'll tell you, it's worth, the Lamb of God is worthy of our lives. He's worthy of you moving away from your family and friends and comfort and burgers and whatnot. And reach out to the dark and lost world out there. There is a big, dark, lost world. And God has a heart for the lost to hear about His Son, Jesus Christ. But please be prayer for us in India as we reach out. This is a family that has been, the picture there shows central India, is the map there, heart of India, Sagar, trying to reach among the unreached people groups. As we continue to build leaders and send, please be prayer for our church, Capital Bible Church, as we train men and women as well. You know, women are not going to be pastors and elders, but we believe women are very significant as they get involved in missions to be part of that church planning team. And seeing, by the way, there are a lot of wonderful, amazing stories of women that had done missions in India, including the best medical hospital that we have in Asia is actually started by Ida Scudder, is a lady who came as a missionary. So I want to appeal to both, you know, all. In fact, nowadays, missions is amazing. Any profession, if you know how to do PowerPoint, you could be useful in missions. I mean, in so many different ways, Lord can use. Not always. I love seminarians. I love pastor teachers. But God can use any gift that He has given you, any equip that you have given. And you want to talk to your leaders, and then you could be sent, and God can use any profession for His mission. As you can see, we are doing a lot of things, and I just wanted to show this so you can come tonight, we can tell all the stories. I know many of you must be wondering, well, Heather is from here in the U.S., and I'm from India, how did you guys meet? Come in the evening, I will tell you the story. And all the non-profit side, for-profit side, and how we are planting churches in Delhi and UPG and Kamar tribe, and all the stories I'd like to share. And again, these are God's story for God's glory. And we are amazed as we just stand and see what God's doing, how He is building His church. So please pray for us. Our little one coming, this is our last picture together, and then the little one is going to be next time. And I pray for my wife and the baby to come and our kids. And it's just a privilege for us to be there in Delhi one of the most populated city in the world and one of the most polluted city in the world as well. And yet we are right there in the hub, in the capital, to, by God's grace, have an impact not only over India and even beyond, all over India and beyond. So please pray for us. Actually, we have prayer cards you may grab, and if you want to keep updates, you can email us. We can always put that on. But again, thank you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be with you. But again, as I conclude, I want to encourage all of you that be a disciple that makes disciples. It's very simple, right? Make disciples. Disciples, make disciples. Mature disciples, multiply. May I just pray and conclude. Father God, we just thank you for your word is living and active, and it's so clear and convicting, and yet comforting, knowing that, Lord, you have saved us. You have bought each one of your bride with your precious blood. And this good news, this God's news that we will be able to share locally here in Grace Church Merville and there, Capital Bible Church in Delhi. Lord, help us to be living like Jesus with his mission in all that we do. May we be faithful in making disciples that multiply. Thank you for Grace Community Church, Merville. May you continue to use this church to be a light to the nations. Thank you for the partnership that we have with this church. We pray that you will continue to use us. We're excited to see how you would use us for your glory, so undeserved. So undeserved, and yet it's only by your grace. And so we give you the glory alone. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.